Thank you very much. Firstly, I would like to tell you I'm already make a paper, but someone will copy and will distribute to you all. But I just want to address some points generally to it regarding my paper. If we talk about the forms of violence, militarism, of role of armed forces in Indonesia, I think we have to evaluate from since the downfall of the Suhartos. And after the downfall of Suharto in 1998, I think military form until now is not like our expectations, and it's still far from our expectations. And Suharto and the replacement from the Suharto, Habibie, Gus Dur, and Megawati, it's not changed the structure, the bureaucracy, the corrupt bureaucracy, and the militaristic policy in the states levels. And military, I think, still has a significant role, still has a significant influence regarding the political situation in Indonesia. And in the other side, civilian authority is not able to control the military. And as a result, I think the role of the military in parliament, for instance, is being postponed, and also the profession of the efforts or the measures to professionalize the military could not be going smoothly. And the other side, the demands of the reforms to cut off the the territorial command is not still the state or the government did not pay attention seriously in these problems. Once for one case is like in Aceh, the revival of the military area commands. And then I think for human rights issues in relationship with the role of the military, there was a stagnation in laws and human rights until now. The military could still exist and function as an umbrella of the impunity, a cycle of impunity. And the other side, the military itself refused the process or refused the demands to prosecute all of the past human rights abuses. And that's what we call obstruction of justice from the military. I would give you an example in further exploration of my paper. And at the same time, the terror and intimidations to activists, to the family of the victims, to the political activists or human rights activists are still continue until now. There were a lot of cases in Indonesia that show this this phenomenon. And also the worsening of the conflict in Papua and Aceh. And the weakness, it becomes worse when we have a weakness in the legal system or structural system or judicial system in Indonesia. For instance, in Aceh, from the 14 district courts in Aceh, only a few judges that would do their jobs because of the security reasons in there. So it's a serious problems in Aceh. And the level of the resistance from the status quo power or the military or the Golkar party still has a significant support from the other political force. And therefore, hoping that civilian can control the military is almost like a dream, maybe. And let alone on the eve of the next election in 2004, it would be a crisis times for the people or for the people at the grounds or the grassroots to be like the election before. And so in this general context, I think we have to do something to to give attention or by the, from the state or by the all groups on the society. This is the context of my presentations in the paper. And for, if we talk about the forms of violence, I would like to address or to tell you about the forms of violence in the conflict area and also outside the conflict areas. In if we talk about forms of violence in conflict area, we can look at to the document of the military operation in Aceh, for instance. There was the policy from the military in doing their operation to eliminate physically the activists in Aceh, include religious groups, religious elite of the religious groups, and also political groups and human rights groups. And not only in Aceh, but also in Papua, we can see at the document of the Department of the Internal Affairs of the Indonesia. I think it's very clear that the government still has an old paradigm to face the people that criticize the government policy. And Papuan conflict in Papua was entering a critical phase when the government faced the murder of Papuan leader Teis Hio Eluai. And the result of investigation, I think, the military or the special armed forces is involved in the murder of Teis Eluai. And it could relate it. We can see the relations between this murder and the policy shown by the document of the operation of internal affairs of department. And it's not only the civilian government that involved in planning to operate today operations, and also the special troop itself, and other armed forces. That's the first forms of the violence that I think it's very important for the situation is for the current situation in Indonesia since the downfall of Suharto. The second forms of the violence is the scanner, something like what we call scenario of the civil war, or to engage the people against each other. And we can see at the how the military organize the civilian force, like Pam Swakarsa or Kamra Kawanan Rakyat or WANRA. I mean, some groups like militia or paramilitary groups from the civilians, and these groups is clearly involved. For instance, in the East Timor cases, in the gross violation in East Timor, and we can look at to the document of the military operations that clearly mention about the parliament, about the involvement of the Pam Swakarsa to face the pro-independence in East Timor. That's the first example. The second example is in 1998, when there was a special assembly in Jakarta, the military organized civilian groups named Pam Swakarsa to face the student movements, to face the demonstration of the students, to make counter issue and other black propaganda. And I was a member of the National Commission investigation for the incident of the student shooting, and I worked for 7 months, and we already make this report and submitted to the Komnas HAM, National Commission on Human Rights, and also the Komnas HAM itself, National Commission on Human Rights, it's already submitted to the Attorney General. Maybe next week, the Attorney General will announce the follow-up of And it felt clear from this these facts. And the others, its example is when our office contrast were attacking by more than 300 people in the beginning of this month, last month, in the 13th of March. These people that were attacked our office is PAM Swakarsa. And PAM Swakarsa is the groups that involve in East Timor cases and is in the student shooting in November 1998. And if we look into the opinion in 1998, since the downfall of Suharto, there was a trend in the public opinion to engage the students or the people fight each other. And also, we could not separate with what has happened in Moluccas. And I think when they attack our office, they attack us, they destroy our office in the name of religion, in the name of Muslim community. Just like in Molucca. And it was clear that there are the same groups that mentioned in the military operation 1998. And that they were mobilized or organized to overcome those who criticize the government or against the government. And this model, these patterns, it has already become a general pattern to overcome the groups like UPC, Urban Poor Consortium, when they staged demonstration in Komnas HAM, National Commission on Human Rights. Some groups, in behalf of the ethnic or region groups, attack the demonstrators. They beat the demonstrator, they hit the demonstrator, something like that. And it's become a model in Jakarta now, I think, to become the way of the resistance. This is the second forms of violence. The third is, the second is not only for terror to the activists, but also to engage the people against each other, like in Maluku's or in Poso. And the third is about public terror and destabilizations. During the Gus Dur era, I think we still remember the bombs terror in the end or in the middle of the 2000, the year of 2000s. When there was bomb cases in 14 regions, and the issue is trying to also to engage the people fight each other with bombing the church in everywhere with the same time, with the same model, and also the same construction of the bombs. That indicates that it's the military standard. I didn't say that military involved in church bombing, but it could be investigates to know how far the access of the bombs, the military equipment, could be reached by the civilian or by the perpetrators. And it was organized, the bombs. And it becomes a model. It's not like international terrorism when America was attacked by the terrorists. It's different. It's not about the international phenomenon. It's about the national phenomenon. It's about the resistance of the old power, of the new order power. And in these problems, the intelligence, national intelligence, Indonesia, I think there's no actions. And they could not anticipates the terror, the bombs, and it means that we have a collapse international in the international intelligence. And also there was accusations to the involvement of the some company, business company, a business of Suharto's families in terms of bombs business. There was some company owned by the families of Suharto that produced the bomb. And if we want to get clearly what exactly has happened in terror bombs, we have to look into who is the institution that produced the bombs, who is the institution that could distribute or to use the bomb itself. And after they use the bombs, they have to report. And it could be possible if the construction of the bombs is indicate the military standards, if the way of the bombing Jakarta or other 13 regions is like systematic or organized crimes. And I don't know if civilian can do the same crimes. But until now, there was action that was have been taken by the government to know who is the intellectual debtor or the intellectual actor behind these bombings. This is the third forms of violence. And if we talk about the militarisms, I think it's still the same phenomenon in Indonesia. The political party still has paramilitary forces, and some people mobilize themselves in the name of religion, in the name of ethnic, in the name of which attributes like a military. And also they still have a part, not all of the people in Indonesia, I think there was a culture of violence when they found the thief or the robber in the streets. They kick, they beat, and they kill the thief or the robber. And it's not because of the culture itself, but it's because of incapacity of the states. It's because of the rule of law. There is no rule of law. And also, there was some groups in the name of religious, like Lashkar Jihad, involved in the military, in the conflict in Molucca. And they tried to move, and they already moved to the other regions in Poso, in Sampit, and they was in Aceh trying to enter the conflict area, but the RGAM, the Free Aceh Movement, and also the military and the police reject them. But in the other regions, I think they could not reject or refuse the attendance of the Lashkar Jihad. And also in other side, in Christian community, there are also Lashkar Christus. I mean, they mobilize themselves like a military. And I'm not sure it's because of theology problems. I'm not sure it's because of the... I could not find the reason, the historical reason, or the sociological reasons to explain you about this phenomenon. We don't have any experience a conflict communalisms between religion, between ethnics. I don't know if you could correct me if I'm wrong. And I would like to underline, if we want to know who are they, the PAM Swakarsa civilian groups. We can look into the source of their funds and purpose of act, and also the issue that raises by them, and also how far they involve in violence. We have one interest case regarding the accusation of corruption of our chairman Parliament, Akbar Tanjung. He's been accused by the corruption 56 million rupiahs. And according to the testimony of former chief of logistic affairs agency, Bulog, Rahari Ramlan, says that from 56 million rupiah, 40 he gives to Akbar Tanjung and 10 million rupiah to Wiranto as the chief of national military, and Wiranto use it to mobilize to organize PAM Swakarsa. And also we can look into the policy of the military in the documents, in their documents. And also we can look into some example that I mentioned before, that these people organized by the military to facing the students' movement with to make counter issue, and they armed these people armed by the maybe the military or the police with the bamboos and religious attributes and also the operational car. And these people organized by the military to face pro-independence in East Timor. These people armed by the military and with the attribute of state nationalisms. And these people, in other example, in other cases, is organized by the military to block the works of Komnas HAM, the works of investigation team. Maybe I don't have a real evidence, but according to my experience in the investigation, it's clearly shown by the some evidence. And I hope someday it will be prosecuted in fair trial, to be brought to the trial. And these people also, PAM Swakarsa, is all organized to attack our office in Jakarta with religious attributes. In the name of religious, they sing the Muslim song, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Salatullah, Salamullah. But when they sing that song, they destroy our office. I don't understand what exactly the religion is. I'm not sure if Islam or if the Muslim is saying to act like this. And this is about the militarism and the forms of violence. And then I would like to address my opinion in terms of the role of the armed forces in the defense system. We already have laws number 3, 2002 about state defense. But even though in practice we still have a problem, for instance, in terms of the revival of the military command in Aceh, the government forms the territorial command, military area command in Aceh. But it's not, I think the state defense laws is not allow the government to establish a new military area command. This is my opinion. I mean, the law saying that there must be make the territorial command becomes small. I don't know about how to call it, but you can see from my indications. And also the activity of the authority of the civilians. I mean, in terms of the refusal of the summons from the National Commission on Human Rights by the military, the civilian authority include the president, including the Minister of Defense cannot do anything. They can control the military, and they can ask, or they cannot order the military to come to the National Commission on Human Rights in terms of investigation at the time. And we can say that the policy, the military policy, still dominated by the military itself, not the authority, the civilian forces, the civilian government. And I was involved, I was joined the workshop of the military organized by Agus Wijoyo. He's now a vice chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly in the highest parliament. And in the workshop, the military has a plan to, in terms of the establishment of Kodam, military area command, it's like to transfer the power of the military from the central politics to local politics. I mean, if we look into the substance of the workshop, it seems that in terms of regional autonomy, they would like to put their power in the local area, so there will be no control. There will be easier for them to get budgets, and I know the military has a little budget for their operation, for their equipment, for their salary. And the things that the most important things that I cannot understand is in the area, in the conflict area, or the area that has been a cure of the riots, is after that they forms the territorial command, the military area command. It's my opinion. There was a concern in Indonesia from the groups activists or human rights activists that saying that there was so many involvement of the military in the conflict area, and it means that the conflict becomes a justification, and they try to justify it. The establishment of Kodam, the establishment of military command with this scenario. I don't know. Until now, the government cannot prove. There wasn't a single case that be brought on trial. And in terms of law enforcement, the role of the military is not so good. Military now still has a law advisory council of the military in the structure of the military. They have the substructure called Babinkum, Badan Pembinaan Hukum, that becomes a lawyer, but they are military officer. They become a lawyer or defender of the military officer that involved in gross violation of human rights. I mean, if there is an accusation of the military officers involved in gross violation of human rights, this substructure in the military becomes their lawyer, becomes their defender. And it means that military still has substructure to do the job in the fields of non-military, in the fields of non-defense. I'm sorry, it becomes so. But that's my presentation or that's my concern in terms of the role of the military, forms of silence, and also the militarism itself. And I think we could get more discussion, further discussion later after the chair. Okay, thank you very much.